Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 323.
This week on the podcast, there's cross traffic in the race for president. We'll tell you who's in and who's out.
And Joe Biden has seemingly thought a lot about the assassination of Barack Obama.
Plus, David Koch is dead, survived by Russian authoritarian government and the Met.
And Trump did not successfully buy Greenland last week, so let's depose him.
The future of oxygen is up in smoke, literally.
And please, pray for RBG, because how many cancers is too many?
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. Why not rate us while you're there? Leave a comment.
Sure.
Hopefully a nice comment. But whatever sure. You feel.
Yeah.
We told you we were going to have a special guest today. He has rescheduled for next week, so if you want to hear Kip on the podcast next week, that should be a really interesting discussion, but we will not be releasing it until next week. So instead, we're here with one of the great weeks of Trumpisms.
Oh, yeah.
This is really, it's an exciting week in election news in that some people finally dropped out.
Yeah.
So we're slowly whittling down the number.
And some new people joined.
And some new people joined or talked about joining.
On the whole, there's not less people running for president, right, which is upsetting.
On the micro level, there are fewer people running for the Democratic nomination.
Yes.
And that is a good thing.
Yes.
So Hickenlooper dropped out and decided to run for Senate.
Right.
Thank God.
Already had a commercial ready to go.
Yeah. He was obviously ready to announce his run for Senate as he dropped out.
Yeah.
Jay Inslee dropped out.
Take a note, Beto O'Rourke.
Seriously. Jay Inslee dropped out.
What's his nuts?
Who's?
Sorry. You know, Steve Bullock.
Oh, Steve Bullock. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh.
Go run for Senate in Montana. Get out of our hair.
Have a ball in Montana where people love you.
Right.
Running for Senate.
Yeah.
And leave the rest of us out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Seth Moulton also can crawl back under the rock that he came out from under.
Yep.
He was the one candidate we saw speak in Iowa, as you would know if you listened to our Iowa podcast, and we weren't impressed.
No, we were not.
On the Democratic side, continuing with the candidates who are still in the race,
yes,
we had some very elaborate Biden gaffes.
The gaffathon
this week. You guys,
continues.
This man cannot be trusted to take on Donald Trump, who generates gaffes for people that weren't even planning to have them. It began with him saying, you had over 40 kids shot at Kent State on a beautiful lawn by the National Guard. That was an admittedly tragic incident.
Tragic.
In which the National Guard attacked protesters at Kent State,
right,
killing four of them and injuring nine.
Right. He inflated that by tenfold.
This is a very Trumpian thing that he did
here.
It
totally is.
He was in Keene, New Hampshire, delivering a speech, and may or may not have referenced his love of Vermont.
Yes,
while there.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
So he said, I love this place. Look, what's not to like about Vermont in terms of the beauty of it? And what a neat town. Everybody has been really friendly. I like Keene a lot.
Keene being a town located
town
in New Hampshire.
Right, not Vermont.
And I feel like they don't love that comparison in New Hampshire because they like to think of themselves as having an identity.
Well, also, under what circumstances would you be in Vermont right now?
None of them.
I mean, like, that's the other thing,
yes,
too.
Yes, that is a good point I hadn't even thought of. How would you possibly... why would Vermont even be in your head?
Right. You might only be in New Hampshire or Iowa or South Carolina.
And it would be when you're running for president.
Right. There's a list of, like, five places that you might possibly be right now. And Vermont is not one of those places.
No, it would have been more sensible if he had said Nevada.
Yes.
Than Vermont.
Which is ridiculous because it's nowhere near there. But it's like at least maybe
he might have
they
been
both
there.
Start with N and you just were confused about where the plane let you off.
Exactly.
Like, right.
Yeah. Nobody has time for this level of gaffery.
No.
And then he also, nobody knows, this wasn't a gaffe necessarily
in
the sense that he didn't misspeak. He just said the wrong thing intentionally.
I guess. Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know.
He was talking about the about 1968 and about Martin Luther King and RFK getting assassinated within 2 months.
Right. And he also, at some point this week, or maybe last week, I can't remember, also said that that was in the late 70s.
Right, which is a different era.
It was in the late 60s.
Than when it was in. It was very famously in 1968, the year that everything happened.
Right.
It's a famous year. But then, in speaking to a crowd, he said, imagine what would have happened if, God forbid, Barack Obama had been assassinated after becoming the de facto nominee. What would have happened in America?
Yeah, God forbid you would have become the president. That's what would have happened.
Also
probably why you've been imagining it for however long you've been imagining
it. What a weird thing to say.
I'm picturing him praying for it every night before he went to bed.
Take this kid out from under me. Like, it just, what a weird choice to reference the assassination of a president who you worked under. who people worried about being assassinated intently.
Right.
It was bad taste. It's off color.
Yeah.
He also big into rich people this week.
Continues.
Loves a good rich person.
Right. Because they're patriotic people.
Yeah.
Rich people.
Yeah. He said, I find most rich people are as patriotic as poor people.
Well, he would know. He's spending a lot of time.
I would say he wouldn't know because I don't know which poor people he's hanging out with. But certainly.
Right.
Certainly he would know what the rich are up to.
Yes.
And I'm sure he believes they're very patriotic because they're donating money to his campaign.
Yes.
And that, what else is patriotism, really?
Yeah. Scaramucci was at one of his events.
Oh, my God.
Weekend. Did you see that?
The mooch has been hitting the news hard.
Yeah.
He thinks that Trump is going to resign.
Yes, like in March.
In
or
March
something.
Or something.
Like,
yeah.
Has a date picked out.
Yeah. It's like the world end, the apocalypse.
Oh, right.
Prognosticators.
Yeah.
Who never seem to get the date right, but continue to predict that at some very specific date in the future, the Christ will come or the world will end.
Sure.
It depends on what sect of craziness they're coming out of. But Scaramucci is basically the political version of one of those prognosticators of a Nostradamus.
Yeah.
And then also, it seems like maybe Joe Biden only likes teachers in an effort to continue to have sex with his wife.
Right. He said he was talking about teachers, and he said, he said if he didn't support teachers, he would, quote, be sleeping alone.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why
his support of teachers is what keeps him in bed with Jill.
Is tied up into his love of teachers. See what I mean? Yeah.
But we also got some news about potential Republicans that may join the primary field, which is currently just Trump and Bill Weld, the fake person.
Which is like, and these people are hilarious, too,
this is
because
like
Bill Weld like sort of like makes sense in a way that he was just sort of like, he was a Republican governor, I think is sort of like trying to run as like the sensible
Right, he's like a moderate Republican,
because
he
like,
was a Republican governor in Massachusetts.
Right, and now he's, but these other two guys are like, just
they're star seeking.
They're their own version of crazy people.
Yeah.
And at least one of them is sort of their own version of Trump to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
Who is a one-term congressman from Illinois who basically admits to the fact that he like helped create Trump because he's like a known asshole. And that was his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I helped create Trump. There's no doubt about that. The personal ugly politics. I regret that. And I'm sorry for that. And now we've got a guy in the White House. That's all he does. So Joe Walsh
thinks he personally
needs to fix it.
That's right. A guy that has no record for us to even.
No. He came in on the Tea Party wave being an asshole.
Right.
In 2010.
That's right.
And served one term.
And now he's on the Twitter wave. I keep seeing him being retweeted on Twitter. He's been hitting Twitter hard.
Sure.
And then the second name.
Come on.
Mark Sanford.
Go away.
What?
Go away forever.
If you have not been listening to this podcast religiously for the last 5 years.
Right, he's a favorite character.
Seven years, however long we've been doing this. He's a storied character of ours. He was the governor that disappeared for 15 days, claiming he was hiking the Appalachian Trail, but was actually in Argentina with his mistress. At the time, 15 phone calls went unanswered from his chief of staff, and he also failed to call his family on Father's Day. So he disappeared to Argentina on Father's Day, a day that he knew his family might be trying to reach him. But he's also like a super Christian nut. He's part of the family.
Right.
The family.
Oh, yeah. The family. The family.
The family. The family. The Coes. Right. The family.
Yes.
Which if you've been watching the series about, you will, or read
on
the
Netflix,
book.
Right,
I actually haven't watched the series yet, but I did read the book years ago, so I know about the family.
Yeah.
But he's been floating the idea of running against Trump for a while, and I think it's pretty clear why.
Right. This is another Trumpian move, too. I mean, where Joe Walsh is Trumpian in that he's just sort of like an asshole and is, you know, came to rise by being one. Mark Sanford is also just sort of like, has a very sort of like Trump streak of like retaliation.
Yes.
Because he's clearly just pissed that Trump endorsed his primary challenger in 2018 who beat him.
Yeah.
Because after he was governor, he went away for a while and then did the Republican Christian thing that you can do you can be a terrible
reborn,
person.
Reborn, essentially.
Right, reborn and was, like, forgiven because he's a Christian, which is a thing that Democrats can't do because we can't be Christians even if we are.
Right.
And then he came back and he won a House seat in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then Trump endorsed
his
challenger.
And then he lost the House seat.
Right. So this is retaliation.
Yeah. And then he's already had a Biden-style gaffe.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he claimed he was going to the Buckeye State before a trip to Iowa. And the Buckeye State is Ohio,
Right.
Which, as you know from going to Raygun,
is
the t-shirt store, yes, is a, you know, a popular thing to mix up.
Yes.
Idaho can also get thrown in there every, yes, once in a while as,
yeah,
well.
Ohio and Idaho, like, classic Iowa mix-ups.
You know, we like to joke about it, but we don't like people who think that they should be presidents not knowing that that's incorrect.
No. Also, that...
it's touchy.
It's touchy also because that's like a rival football team, isn't it? Like,
yes,
Ohio is a rival football team.
Yes.
I've learned that,
sure,
the hard way by not caring and being forced,
right, the Ohio State
to hear
Buckles
about it. Yeah.
Yes, right.
And so, and listen, the Iowa team is the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
He got confused about what kind,
right,
of eye
what
he was talking
eye he
about.
Was looking at.
But you got to,
right,
know.
Both of them weird mascots,
sure,
for a hawk. Just the eye of the hawk.
Right,
and
not
then
the
also
hawk.
A tree nut.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, those are. So, I, you know, it's. He.
Listen, it's not sensible.
No.
But a lot of things aren't. One of them being Mark Sanford himself. And so you sometimes just have to play the game.
That's right.
And he's not doing that very successfully.
No.
So we have a bunch of jokers right now trying to run against Donald Trump in the,
yeah,
primary.
Yeah.
Some of whom just feel sad that they accidentally were responsible for Trump. And others feeling sad because they weren't responsible enough for Trump to get a good deal from,
right,
the Trump administration to get endorsed
by
him.
To get endorsed, right.
So that's exciting to keep our eye on.
Yeah.
The other big news in Republican circles this week is that David Koch died.
Died. 79.
He's a dead man.
Another person that, do not let anyone make you feel guilty,
that's
for,
right,
not feeling guilty that you're happy that he died.
That's right. I know there was even an article in the Times that was like, how happy is it okay to be if someone terrible dies? And I
all
was like,
all the happy.
As happy as you want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only half down. There's still another,
right,
Koch,
I know,
brother.
Yeah, I know.
It's
so half happy.
Exactly. It's half, right, happy. But... You know, the Koch brothers were two of the 10 richest people in the world, in America.
Yeah.
Possibly in the world. They're billionaires.
Yeah.
We don't have to feel bad because of a number of things that they have been up to, including,
sure,
I mean, founding Americans for Prosperity is
the
big
main
one. But they also founded the Reason Foundation, which is a libertarian magazine, and then the Cato Institute, which is a libertarian think tank.
Yes.
And they are politically, sure, bizarre. But the thing that you should remember about them, because,
right,
you're going to hear some weird things. They donated a lot of money to the arts. They were actually,
right,
one of the big funding sources behind Amendment 4 in Florida, that amendment that gave felons back their right to vote, or ex-felons back their right to vote.
Yep.
But they personally funded the Tea Party. They created the Tea Party.
Yeah.
The Tea Party, you know how early on the Tea Party you were like, why do these people have like buses and billboards? Like, who are they?
Right.
I thought they were just angry people who didn't want to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And what they were is people that the Koch brothers had funded to come together and do bus tours around America, whatever they were up to,
right,
on the Koch brothers' dime.
Yes.
So the Tea Party as a party, as an identity, as a political movement,
right,
was not a groundswell of regular people
no,
feeling frustrated with their government.
No.
It was fucking Koch brother money,
right,
that created
and they
a
were
crisis.
Able, and they were able to do it also with their own money and then also, you know, through other millionaires and billionaires' money, especially after the Citizens United, which,
exactly,
was in 2010. So it's sort of like, because they had been politically active since, you know, the 70s, I believe.
Yeah.
And also their father was a big, you know, Republican and like small government guy who,
right,
was also rich, obviously, because he sort of like passed down they're running the family business.
Exactly.
And so, but it was really sort of like in 2010 as a response to Obama and being able to spend the amount of money that they could at that point after Citizens United, that they sort of like became the, you know, the boogeyman,
yeah,
that they were. And
continue to be,
right. Yeah.
It's also especially frustrating because they donated a lot of money to the arts. Anytime you go to a famous public arts institution, their name is fucking vomited all over the place.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the Met, you have to walk through a plaza named after the Koch brothers.
Right.
Like, I know we like the arts and we want,
sure,
money to be donated to the arts. I don't need the people that started the Tea Party to have their name all over everything, and it's because they want small government to contain their fortune so that money doesn't become public money.
Well, that's the thing,
you
and
know,
that's what you need to remember, and this is sort
not,
of like...
Philanthropy
this is
doesn't make up for your contributing to society in a meaningful fashion.
Right, exactly, because they obviously were not in favor of paying taxes themselves or for anyone else paying taxes, and that is what would have bettered the lives of everyone. And
exactly,
that's, you know, great, we can continue going to the opera, but like that...
Right, but it's not just up to rich people to decide which social priorities are the priorities.
Correct.
That's the argument that we are often making about philanthropy, especially philanthropy,
right,
on this scale,
right,
where it's like billionaires donating money to public institutions.
Right.
This is
And
not...
it's also how they get out of paying taxes.
Exactly.
A lot of times,
it should not be up to them to decide what that money gets used for. As Liz Warren would tell us, they used our roads and our schools and our fire departments to build their business.
Right.
We should get to decide where that the benefit of that great opportunity we gave them goes. And if we want to give it to the arts, great, because we do want money to go to the arts. But it shouldn't be that they don't pay taxes and then they get to decide the Met gets to stay, but schools don't.
Right.
You know? Uh-huh. So in any case, fuck that guy.
Yeah. And also, you know, a lot of people sort of like to point to his own personal politics were more libertarian. And because of that, also sort of
a little
of
more
like,
socially progressive.
We're a little more socially progressive. Like he was okay. He was not necessarily so much pro-gay rights, but felt like, you know, he was libertarian in the sense that like the government should be like staying out of that.
And
the government should be staying
abortion.
Out of the woman's right to choose. He was also sort of like famously personally against or claimed to be the war in Iraq. But the problem is that not one single cent that he ever gave to any candidate of his billions of dollars, none of those candidates ever agreed with any of those three things that we just mentioned.
So obviously his personal politics weren't that important to him.
They weren't that important. It was small government was what was important to him. And if he had to sort of, you know, shut down a woman's right to choose and, you know, gay marriage and anything else along the
and
way.
Start a war if he wants.
Start a war, then that was okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, in any case, you don't have to feel bad that you feel happy.
No.
That one
and the
of
next
Koch
time you go to the
dead.
Met and you walk through the Coke gallery.
Spit on his fucking name.
Say good fucking riddance.
Exactly. Yeah. In any case, we were met. This is the part of the podcast where we're just going to talk about the endless list of hilarious things Trump did this week.
Well, it was crazy. I mean,
it was crazy because the stock market has been failing.
Well,
and there were some there's been some discussion about whether the economic miracle that is Donald Trump is going to fall apart. And so he is not only panicking about that, but he's trying to create diversions on top of that.
Well,
and he's been up to everything this
week. And I think one of the things that we will sort of like point out along the way with each of these stories is that, you know, he's always saying insane things.
Right.
But in so many of these instances, these words mattered this week, whether it was the stock market with the tariffs, which we'll talk about, or whether it was
trying to buy Greenland
turned into a diplomatic issue that, you know, Mike Pompeo had to get involved in and like turned into an issue before going to the G7. And like, you know,
it's out of a comedy sketch.
Right, it does. And it started that way too. We're going to talk about Greenland first because it's probably the most ridiculous. But he, you know, apparently this has been floated before and like he has confirmed that like he has been serious about it.
Him
like,
and Larry Kudlow.
And I was reading some story about why this is. It's something to do with like either shipping routes or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, like I think China's interested in it. And so it's become this sort of like geopolitical kind of like, you know,
Greenland, a place like that almost nobody lives, that is freezing cold, that has nothing in it.
Right. And it's also melting.
And melting.
There was a hilarious thing. The new rules on Bill Maher this week was actually like instead of buying Greenland, he should be worried about saving Greenland.
Oh, yes.
Which was like really actually pretty funny. But so it started, you know, it started innocent enough because he tweeted, and even this was even sort of like a fun tweet. Like somebody had made a graphic with a giant gold Trump Tower like on the coast of Greenland, like their, you know, like quaint village there.
Right.
But he, even when he tweeted that, he said like, "I will not do this to Greenland!" exclamation point. And we were, everybody was fine.
We
and we were like,
ourselves.
Well, this is weird because like we're talking about putting a Trump Tower on
Greenland,
and that's just insane. But anyway, so the Danish prime minister responded back and she said that was absurd.
Yeah, which was an appropriate response.
Right, was an appropriate response. But then it was a personal affront to Trump.
His pride got involved.
His pride got involved.
So he had to retaliate.
And that's when it went off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tweeted one of the great tweets of Trump's America. "Denmark is a very special country with incredible people. But based on Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen's comments that she would have no interest in discussing the purchase of Greenland, I will be postponing our meeting scheduled in 2 weeks for another time." Passive aggressive.
Right?
And then he called her nasty, which is what he calls women when he doesn't like them.
Yep.
And then he said she shouldn't treat the United States that way by saying absurd. That's not right. That's not the right word to use, absurd. He said that he thinks he knows Denmark well because, quote, "I have many people from Denmark who live in the United States." And then by the time Wednesday was over, he was attacking NATO. He was attacking Denmark.
Right. So Denmark doesn't pay enough money for defense.
It became a diplomatic incident.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there was, I was reading some story like this week that, like, Mike Pompeo was literally, like, having to, like, back-channel all these people.
Yeah.
Like you know, NATO allies and Denmark specifically, just because,
over
like,
over a joke about buying Greenland.
Right.
Which is absurd on so many... talking about Greenland is already a joke.
I know.
It's ridiculous. In any case, his shenanigans continued. So on Friday, he found out, by surprise, because everyone is always being surprised in this administration, that China was going to retaliate against some tariffs that he had imposed on them.
Shocker.
With their own tariffs.
Right. Well, we're in a trade war, so that's what happens.
Exactly. So they wanted to increase tariffs on a bunch of American goods, including crude oil, automobiles, and farm products like soybeans, pork, and corn.
Right. And those... they're already, you know...
They're already in the shitter.
There were reports this week about how this was, like, the worst year for farm bankruptcies ever.
Yeah.
And it's soy farmers, it's dairy farmers, and pork farmers. And this is why. That's their biggest market in some of those instances.
Exactly. Like, that's... America produces a lot of agricultural products that we ship to Asia.
Yes.
That is like a thing we do here.
Right.
We produce a lot of rice here that we export. We produce soy, lot of soy that we export. We produce pork. Obviously, Brent would know. He's from Iowa.
Right. You ate some of it.
I ate some of it. It was delicious. We produce a lot of corn. The world's corn.
Sure. We ate some of that too.
But so these are products and agricultural products in particular that really hit his base hard.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like even Chuck Grassley was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Chuck Grassley is not a smart man.
No, he's not.
And he's a senile man on top of that. And he knew. He was like, this is not good for Iowa farmers.
No.
Because it was basically every product that Iowa exports was being hit. But so in a series of angry tweets, it begins with Trump demanding that American companies cut their ties with China.
Yeah. Just start looking for other places to sell their stuff.
Exactly. Here's the tweet. Our great American companies are hereby ordered to immediately start looking for an alternative to China, including bringing our companies home, all caps, and making your products in the USA. We don't need China, and frankly, would be better off without them.
Hereby ordered to immediately...
He doesn't have the power to hereby order...
He can't do that. He can't tell...
Private companies to not do business.
Correct.
I mean, he has the power... American companies have been hereby ordered to stop doing business with Cuba for years, but that was an official Treasury Department policy, not a tweet that Trump sent out.
Right.
And even that has had constitutional implications.
Sure.
The Supreme Court had to hear that case.
Sure.
Like, so that those comments sent stocks plunging.
Yeah.
The stock market fell apart. It was already in...
that's the thing. If you...
We've been having weekly losses for four straight weeks now.
Right.
Brenda,
yeah, if you've looked at your 401k, don't look at it.
Don't look at your 401k.
By the way.
Don't take this. Don't even start a sentence with if you look at your 401k.
It's dark times.
We advise you not to look at any investments that you may have as long-term investments.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
No. And this is exactly, we were talking about this earlier. This is the amount of time it takes for shitty economic policies to catch up with a new president. So we're always shocked when 2 years into a Republican presidency, the economy falls apart.
Yes.
Or 3 years into a Republican presidency, the economy falls apart. And we're always shocked. We're always really angry when 3 years into a Democratic presidency, the economy isn't fully fixed.
Right.
This is the cycle. It takes this long for economic policy to have an effect.
Right.
So what we're seeing right now is we're finally seeing the effects of Trump's terrible policy.
Right.
Obama had stabilized the economy so that even though all of the wealth was going to the wealthiest people and, you know, it wasn't stabilized in a way that was super equitable,
right,
the economy wasn't just like plunging into unknown depths.
Right.
For years, Trump has benefited from the fact that the economy was stable when he took it over.
Right.
And now, after years of erratic behavior and weird diplomatic incidents,
we're
seeing the economy fall apart and everyone's like, I can't believe everything is falling. It's like, this is exactly what happens. It happens every time. Every presidency this happens.
Yep.
Like, this happened.
And we also found out that it wasn't even as good as we thought it was in the first place because that's never a surprise. But this was, I think, I think I read something that this was the most that it had ever been rounded down because we found out this week that we gained 500,000 less jobs last year than we thought that we had. And also the GDP, which they had, you know, shouted from the rooftops was 3% for like the first time in God knows how long, was actually 2.5.
Yeah.
Which is like in line with what A, people thought it was going to be, and B, you know, the most of the years of the Obama administration, which everyone was decrying is not good enough.
Exactly. Brent and I will note that we've repeatedly told you the economy is fake.
For sure. Anything and certainly hear, the job numbers.
The job numbers I mean, are...
We have told you that the economy at large is, but right. if there's any specific part of it that we know
that is
to
the
be
most
fake,
it's the job...
That's just guesswork.
It's nonsense numbers that they release. Right. Like, Brent and I could release the jobs numbers. They offer nothing in terms of insight into either the economy or the state of jobs.
Right.
There's nothing you can glean from them at all. So they're a useless figure that we toss around to seem important.
Yeah.
And an economist... wouldn't tell you that because economists are invested in the job industrial complex,
right.
but not us.
Right.
Then Trump doubled down on his craziness because then he got mad. He wanted the chairman of the Fed to lower interest rates.
Right.
Because he thought that'll fix this.
Well,
the economy's
right. I mean,
falling
he's,
apart.
And the fact that he's like so open about that should be all the proof that you need that he's worried about this economy.
Yes.
Because if he thought that it was doing as smashingly as
right.
he would claim in public, then he also wouldn't be publicly saying that the chairman of the Fed is an enemy of ours.
That's right. He literally tweeted...
who he appointed.
My only question is, who is our bigger enemy? Jay Powell, who's the chairman of the Fed, or Chairman Xi? This is a loaded question, Trump. These are both enemies you've created.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know.
Right.
And both of them are people I presume you've shared chocolate cake with.
Oh, I'm
we
sure.
We know at least one.
Yeah.
So this is a confusing conundrum for you to have put us
yeah.
in.
Well, and also I think a lot of people were shocked by that tweet, too, just by calling.
Well, the language
the
of
language,
enemy of the
because,
state.
Because, like, I mean, I think that we have sort of, like, often, we don't necessarily consider China an enemy. I think a lot of people yeah. are sort of, like, concerned about the rise
their
of
economic
them.
Dominance. Their economic,
right, and sort of, you know, where they're... standing in the world, which has sort of certainly changed over the last
right.
decade. But I don't, nobody's really out there calling them like an enemy.
No.
We're worried about them.
Right.
But like,
yeah, they're not,
to just
it's
tweet
bold
that
to.
And then
to
also the chairman of the Fed who you appointed.
Like, that is, well, that's the language of authoritarianism.
But again, another story where those were, you know, we joke about how he's crazy, but it's like that had a huge impact on
yeah.
the economy as soon as, like, you know, minutes after he tweeted those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then he also announced more tariffs. He retaliated right. against their retaliation, against his retaliation, against their tariffs, against the original tariffs
right.
with new tariffs.
Right.
So now it's like we're up to like at this point, everything is going to be like at 100% markup, basically,
right.
based on a nonsense argument that Donald Trump is having via Twitter with the president of China.
Right.
Is what's going on. So there's new tariffs going into effect on October 1st, and now there's new tariffs going, and there's new stuff going into the September 1st tariffs.
Yep.
It's too many tariffs.
It is.
These are all, this is like also going to affect some consumer products, like things like smartphones.
100%.
And, you know,
yeah.
And so.
Well, and there's a lot of people who I think are rightly concerned about when this, I don't think that we're there yet, but like when is this more than just a trade war
yeah.
also.
No, exactly.
Because, like, it's these types of issues that can turn into something more.
Right, to war wars.
To war wars.
Yeah, and this is made up. This is a made up problem. This is a trumped up
right.
situation.
Yeah.
It's not, we don't need to be in this argument with China.
Really?
But already, even before this most recent round of tariffs, the tariffs that we already had imposed were expected to cost the average American household more than $800 a year.
Yeah, we're so up higher than that, I think.
We're
now,
up higher than
we?
That
yeah.
now, for sure. Because mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's clothing, it's
yeah.
electronics,
yep.
it's toys. This is not going to be great forever for him.
No.
It seems like maybe it's not going to be great even imminently, because even prominent Republicans who have been in line with him this whole time are like, hey, dude.
Yeah,
this is not super
not
good for Iowa. This
yeah.
is not super good for, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal. Also, none of his staff expected any of these tweets. So the whole thing caught everyone off guard, which is another. And they're a little concerned that it might unsettle voters.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's hope. Jeez.
Seriously.
One thing we're not going to see any Trump action on. He's willing to impose all the tariffs. But don't worry. We're not going to get background checks after
right.
all.
Because
the one thing that is causing the most actual anxiety to Americans is will not be dealt with.
No. Will not be.
He reversed himself after taking a call from the NRA is what happened.
Yes.
You know how Trump is a dumb person, so the last person who speaks to him is who whose opinion
right, exactly.
he
Exactly. We were talking about this earlier this yeah. week.
Remember because, when Obama convinced him the ACA was the greatest thing because
right,
he was the last person to speak to
him? Right, he was in favor of Obamacare for like one hot second yeah. until somebody else got in the room with him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he was in favor of background checks last week.
Right.
This week, we're fine.
Yeah.
We don't
We've
need
got some
we
already.
We have some already.
There's background checks out
yeah.
there.
That's, we don't need to talk about more.
No.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like having the difference between bringing up background checks like we never have before, which was what he originally said,
oh, yeah.
and
we're gonna have the best background
already
checks.
Having strong background checks is
yeah.
challenging.
Supposedly they're releasing some sort of gun plan this week.
Okay.
So we'll see what
Well, I'm excited means. To find out what it is.
I know, right?
If it's a plan of any sort,
yeah.
I'm excited to see how it lines the pockets of the gun industry and in what
oh,
creative ways
sure.
we can yeah. make them have somehow make more money off this
yeah.
crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe it will just help everyone arm themselves so that we can all be armed so that enough good guys with guns can shoot right. all the bad guys with guns and each other.
right.
And then we really will be having the war that we've always dreamed of where all the gun nuts can go to like Idaho or somewhere,
yeah.
have
yeah,
a Hunger
Games
style war.
Yeah, this was in
the
our
winner
gun
can
blog.
Keep
this was
one
our
gun. Yeah.
For
and
our,
we melt all the yeah. rest.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's a simple solution.
Yeah, it
one
is.
Man with a gun in the entire country, I feel like we can take him.
Yep.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. We don't have to sell him ammunition.
right,
we didn't
exactly.
include that in the plan.
Yeah.
And if all of that wasn't enough.
Right.
There was just like a slew of craziness that was just like minor moments of Trumpisms.
Right.
That happened all week that were insane.
Yeah. He tweeted some commentary from this far-right conspiracy theorist whose name's Wayne Allen Root,
mm-hmm.
in which Root had asserted that Jews in Israel regard Trump as something akin to, quote, the King of Israel or the Second Coming of God.
It's an interesting
right,
reference.
Right, and Trump retweeted that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he loves to, he wants to be the King and the
yeah.
Second Coming.
Right, and the Chosen One, which
and
he
the chosen
said
one.
At this press avail, he looked to the heavens and said, I am the Chosen One.
There are so many great things to unpack about this. One being that the Second Coming is a Christian invention.
Sure.
There is no Second Coming in Judaism.
Well, he's Christian.
Well, that's so true. I don't know that the Jews in Israel would regard anyone as the Second Coming, given that they don't believe a Second Coming is coming.
Sure.
But that's a curious oversight that maybe yeah. we can explain away with some fake theology. The idea that he has now chosen himself to be the Chosen One. And chosen to do what? And chosen in what context? And by who? Did the heavens choose him? Does he need to be chosen by the heavens if he is both the Second Coming and the King?
Well, I was going to say,
did he choose himself?
That's it. There you go.
And yeah. if so, why did he look at the heavens?
Right. He should have pointed at
pointed himself. It's amazing
Ooh.
That there's like a human being who is
yeah.
running a country who felt that that was ever an appropriate action to take.
Right.
Just
yeah.
think words to say.
Also, a lot of these moments, because we're going to tell you a few others, happened at the same like press avail before
yeah.
he like got on a plane or the helicopter to go to some like event. So
it was an exciting press avail.
I was going to say, so feel free to watch that whole thing because
yeah.
it's a treat.
Yeah.
But he also was asked, one of the questions that the media asked him was what he was going to do about all of the suicides by servicemen and women that have been happening, you know, for
right.
a while now, basically. And he had an interesting answer.
It's a quick one.
Yeah. He said, I guess it's a form of a stimulant. Oh, where if somebody is really in trouble from the standpoint of suicide, it can do something. It's pretty well known. It just came out. It's made, I believe, by Johnson & Johnson. And we have calls in now to Johnson & Johnson. We've been dealing with them for 2 months on buying a lot of it.
So his solution is to drug everyone.
Yeah, he's going to drug everybody. He's talking about this drug, which is called Spravato, which is a nasal spray, which is derived from ketamine. And you've probably heard that. It's the street name, because I'm
right.
hip, is called Special K.
That's right.
And it's been used by ravers.
That's right.
Forever.
And it's a horse tranquilizer.
It's a horse tranquilizer.
It's used by horse tranquilizing professionals and ravers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and there's some problems with it, as you may guess.
Trump wants to give the military Special K to stop the scourge of suicides.
That's
right. Is his solution to the suicide issue.
Yeah, that's it.
He
yeah.
also thinks that Google manipulated as many as 16 million votes in the 2016 presidential
oh,
election.
Oh, my.
We're back to this. We're back to crowd sizes and the win margins and people stealing votes and people shooting from the wrong angle to decide that his crowd size wasn't as big and his win wasn't as big and
yeah.
illegal immigrants are voting. And, you know, he's back
yeah.
in that headspace.
Yeah. This next thing has been going on for a while now, but it sort of escalated recently because Fox News released a lot of polls that showed him losing to basically like all 24 Democrats that are running for president. And so now he is really raging against Fox News.
Yeah, he's mad at Fox. And
right, because they're
really,
biased against him.
That's his last bastion of support. I don't know what he's going to do without them.
And where does he find out what to tweet in the morning?
No, I know. What's he going to... The Trump News Network has not yet started. That was his plan if he didn't become the president. So he doesn't have an alternative news network.
No.
He's going to have to listen to Rush.
Oh, boy.
Or, what's his face? The conspiracy.
Oh, Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. That's where you can get some good alternative facts from Alex Jones.
For
He's
sure.
He's armed with many.
Yeah.
He also was at an event in Louisville, which was basically a campaign
event. Yeah, it was a campaign event. And he even referenced that it was a campaign event and, like, sort of had a little fun with the fact that, like, he's really blurring the lines between...
Yeah.
Because this was like...
Isn't it
this
fun
was,
that taxpayers
like,
are...
Right. This was like technically an official, you know, presidential visit there. He was like doing some event with like veterans, which is... this was where he was going
For
the press avail.
This day
which is why
was
he got,
nuts.
Which is why he got asked about what he was going to do about... Because this was like a veterans thing, basically.
Right.
And so he referenced some veteran, some guy named Woody something. I don't know, Woody. That's all we really need to know. But it's somebody that he had presented... the Medal of Honor.
So World War II vet.
Previously World War II vet, and he was there. He was in the audience. And so Trump said, in reference to him, he said, that was a big day, Medal of Honor. Nothing like the Medal of Honor. I wanted one, but they told me I don't qualify, Woody. I said, can I give it to myself anyway? They said, I don't think that's a good idea.
So Trump, also angry that he couldn't present himself with the Medal of Honor.
Right.
For
having bone spurs.
I guess. Right. For his onerous discharge from the military after never having served in it due to his bone spurs.
Right. That's it.
So Trump's having quite the week.
Oh,
he's not
man.
He's in an exciting headspace right now.
Yeah,
so keep a close eye on him. This recess has really been going in an interesting direction.
It has. Well, there were a lot of people sort of like late in the week after some of this had happened where I saw some, granted they were like real, you know, lefties that were saying this, but it was just like people were like, when do we invoke the 25th Amendment?
Yeah, it's like...
Like it was that style of crazy this week where it literally was just sort of like, what is happening?
And routine crazy. It wasn't like he was crazy in one speech and then went back to being Trump. He like spent whole days being crazy this week. So,
yeah.
So that's getting pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile... The Amazon forest is on fire.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately, not the Amazon Corporation.
No. You probably...
You saw this.
Saw this.
Because there was one... What happened was you saw one post a few days ago on Facebook that said, why is no one paying attention to the fact that the Amazon's
and
on
then
fire?
And then everyone was paying attention.
And then it was the only thing on your Facebook feed for the next 3 days.
But people weren't really paying attention so much as they posted something about it. I saw a meme the other day that was like a picture of like a, you know, a sort of like basic looking woman like screaming at her computer, and it was like a woman finding out that Amazon is still burning after she posted about it on Facebook.
Right, exactly.
You know, there was a lot of that going on, which like, look, you know, I saw a lot of people start fundraisers. People were saying that they were giving money, like do that, yes, but it was sort of like it was one of those moments where it was just sort of like everyone all of a sudden was like, oh, I'm supposed to be caring about this thing that's happening because everybody posted on Facebook, and I'm probably like an insensitive person who doesn't know what's going on in the world if I also don't post about it on Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The Amazon is, a lot of the Amazon's on fire.
Yeah.
They do controlled burns in the Amazon, and this year it's kind of out of hand. Not just because, it's not California style where like winds took the fire across large swaths of the land and they're eating up homes and whatever.
Right.
What happened was they have a fascist pro-business president who... They had a bunch of environmental laws in Brazil that were designed to protect the Amazon, knowing that it's a precious resource to all of us.
Right.
He has slowly made it easier for loggers and other people who do these controlled burns in the Amazon to do them.
Right.
And now a lot of there's a huge amounts of deforestation happening in the Amazon because corporations essentially are coming in to either farm or log in the area.
Right.
He wants to make it easier to give land that has been set aside for native groups away to corporations.
Right. And there's been some court cases about that.
There's been some court cases about that.
So he's just miffed about that.
There's miners who want to go in and mine shit and, you know, whatever. And all of them have started doing burns with impunity because no one is enforcing any rules.
Exactly. This is not just, it's like
it's
you said.
It's not California.
No.
This is a man-made problem. This is a man-made problem.
Correct.
And it is man-made specifically by a pro-corporate president.
Now they've gotten out of control, so they need to and finally, I think after sort of like some international, you know,
pressure, a lot of international pressure, including people trying to get out of trade deals with Brazil. I mean, people,
you know, the Amazon, as you also probably found out this week, is the Earth's lungs.
That's right.
Yes.
You, every time anything happens in the Amazon, you find out it's the Earth's lungs.
Right, yeah.
And apparently, anytime beyond that, it's easy. You might as well forget.
Yeah. But he's sending the military. He sent like 44,000 troops.
No one knows what they're going
to
do when they get there. Exactly. They're not like a firefighting force. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And he also didn't really address whether he would make any policy changes that would prevent this from continuing.
No, we're just going to put it out now.
This is like a problem that came. I think I understand why we were so sympathetic to it, because we have been having fire issues in this country and in a lot of parts of the world that really are natural disaster, out of control fires, where we're like, what's happening? Is the world ending?
Well, and also those are very much to do with climate change.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is helping cause climate change. Right. Yes. While not started by it, is making it worse.
So exactly. Right. So it's connected in that sense.
Right.
But everyone, because of that, responded as if this was a sort of environmental crisis first. And in many ways, this is a policy crisis first. This is being allowed to happen. This is a choice that president is making to take a resource that is important to everyone, including people outside of Brazil, and put it up for grabs.
Right. Well, and that's what I feel like was lost throughout most of the week. Because while people were rightly, you know, spiraling out of control about it, and be mad.
Sure.
I feel like there was a lot of just, I think people just thought that, like, Brazil had chosen not to do anything about, like, some fire that had started.
Right.
And it was,
and
like,
Brazil started the fire.
No, that's not what's happening.
And was choosing not to do anything about it because of money.
Right. I feel like by the end of the week, there started to be a little bit better understanding about that. But, like, it was maybe
it was touch
not
and go
so
there
much.
For a while.
It was. Yeah.
But because of that, there is no way. You have to have a political stance on this Amazon burning issue.
Yes.
I think a lot of the time people also get really up in arms about environmental issues in the same way that they do sometimes about animal welfare and other things, because they almost feel apolitical. Because you're just like, the earth is important and we should all do whatever it is. And it's such a big problem that as long as you agree that the earth exists, you kind of can agree that it's important.
Right.
And like, this is a problem with when you let far right governments dismantle environmental policy, which is what we're doing here.
Right.
And what happens in the aftermath of that?
Yeah.
This isn't a problem of, like, the wind.
No, it's not.
In any case, in final news, you guys, my frustration with RBG continues to grow and mount in ways that are not fair to her or us.
Right.
Because that woman should have retired 3 years into Obama's presidency.
That's true.
And here's why.
Yeah.
Because she has fucking cancer again.
I know.
She has, this is not her first cancer.
No.
And they always are like, don't worry, it's fully treated.
Right.
But she keeps getting new ones.
I know. And this was on the pancreas. And that
is not a good cancer.
I know.
That's not the one you want.
No, it is definitely not.
You want, like, a simple cancer that you can just, like, lop off a mole or something.
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a stomach cancer where you can kind of lop off the piece of the stomach that had the cancer.
No.
Sure. This is not the cancer.
No.
For it's, people.
It's not good.
It's not really curable.
It's not good. No.
So they said they had treated it definitively and there was no evidence of the disease elsewhere in her body. But they said that last time and she had cancer fucking again. So
I know.
This is what old people get cancer, you guys.
Oh, no.
And she'd already, you know, November last year, she fractured her ribs.
She fell and broke a bunch of ribs.
It's like,
hang.
She's already had lung cancer.
Lady.
Like, do not die now.
No, you can't.
This is not the time.
But, you know, God bless her. She continues to be a real badass.
Yeah, I think she said this a few months ago, didn't she? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
in July.
It was in July, actually. She was doing an interview with NPR, and she said, there was a senator, I think it was after my pancreatic cancer, who announced with great glee that I was going to be dead within 6 months. That senator, whose name I have forgotten, is now himself dead, and I am very much alive. That's a slow clapper right there, right? I mean,
yeah. But also, you got us into this mess. So you better fucking hang on.
Yeah, I was going to do whatever you got to do.
Reanimate yourself.
That's it.
Go to Dick Cheney's doctor. That guy's a miracle worker. Right. Just like, don't let nature take its course.
No, it can't.
It's been trying.
Yeah.
And you have been ignoring it. You ignored it too long, and now we're in a situation.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that's the news this week. Next week, we are going to have a candidate for state senate visiting the podcast. So we'll talk to you about that. And then I guess we'll talk to you about the importance of Labor Day.
Oh, right.
Because that's when it will be. Yeah, exactly. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.